Welcome to the week that was, a look back at the past 7 days on site. I'm David Adams, the editor of Site Magazine, and our coverage this week included why Catholics in Uganda are protesting a proposal to have the government collect their tithes, claims from rights activists that slavery remains an issue in Mauritania despite slaves being harder to find, and a look at whether there's about to be a religion renaissance on the small screen. But first to Egypt, where Coptic Christians have been expressing their anger in the wake of last week's murder of 7 pilgrims after they left a monastery located to the south of Cairo. The attack was the second on the same site by the local branch of the so-called Islamic State. Some 28 people were killed in a similar attack there last year. Copts, who make up about 10% of Egypt's population, have spoken of their despair at the continuing attacks against their community, with one telling Religion News Service that the violence was a tax we pay just for being Christians. Copts have been a pillar of support for current President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, who has in return allowed new churches to be built and pushed for equality in areas like employment and the exercise of the Coptic faith. But the relationship's increasingly coming under strain as the attacks continue. El-Sisi condemned the latest attack and vowed to continue fighting terrorism. In that regard, on Sunday, a government spokesperson confirmed some 19 suspects in the latest attack had been killed after a gunfight at a desert hideout with security forces. But even some Coptic clergy, usually reticent to speak out, are raising questions, including whether Christmas services should be held at the newly dedicated Nativity of Christ Cathedral, which is closely associated with the government. Over to Uganda, and Catholics there are protesting after Archbishop Lwanga asked the government to take a 10% tithe from the monthly salaries of all Catholics to ensure the church's work doesn't stop because of lack of funds. The Archbishop of Kampala says many Catholics don't voluntarily give 10% of their incomes to the church. He cites the situation in Germany, where a similar church tax has reportedly generated record revenue for the Catholic Church in support of the move. But some Ugandan Christians have questioned the church's motives. They say a church tax forces poor people to fund extravagant lifestyles for some priests and bishops. Still in Africa, but to the nation of Mauritania, and this week we ran a story about how, despite the fact that slavery has been criminalised in the nation since 2007, activists say it still thrives, with an estimated 90,000 people still enslaved. While the government rejects the international figures, saying the practice isn't widespread, activists say the problem is much more subtle and invisible now, with the distinction between slave and former slave somewhat blurred. Meanwhile, in the US, we ran a piece this week on speculation that, during this golden age of television, we may be about to see a religion renaissance on the small screen, following the debut of the CBS drama God Friended Me. The success of that show, which chronicles the adventures of the atheist son of an Episcopal priest who's dispatched by a Facebook user who goes by the handle of God to rescue perfect strangers, has sparked questions over what this means for the future of religion on the small screen. These include what sort of shows which touch on religious issues are most likely to appeal, those that provide moral certainty or those that are a bit more messy in their approach. In other news this week, Asia Bibi, the Pakistani Christian mother of five who was acquitted of blasphemy last week after spending 8 years on death row, was finally released from prison this week. The US Attorney General and high-profile Methodist Jeff Sessions resigned in the immediate aftermath of the midterm elections, which saw the Democrats take back the House of Representatives and the Republican hold over the Senate strengthened. In Cameroon, some 79 students kidnapped from a Presbyterian school by suspected separatists were released following an international outcry. In Australia, Sister Patricia Fox, a nun deported by the Philippines government, arrived back in Melbourne and described President Rodrigo Duterte's regime as a reign of terror. And a gargoyle depicting Pope Francis was unveiled on Germany's Cologne Cathedral. Among our essays this week was an in-depth look at blasphemy laws around the world and another looking at the continuing ties between US President Donald Trump and white evangelicals and the problem that poses for the religious right in America. In our columns, we look at 10 key quotes by and about the late Billy Graham in honour of what would have been his 100th birthday, how tyre manufacturers are looking to tackle the issue of deforestation, and how building green homes is helping to integrate Syrian refugees in Jordan. In our open book column, we continue to journey through 1 Timothy, and our strange sights column features stories about an opera-singing Irish donkey, an underwater hotel room, and a US advertisement for a pup turn. Reviews this week include a collection of essays on the intersection between mission and the church, while in our lifestyle section there's a piece on how to eat for a good night's sleep. These, of course, are just some of the stories that appeared on the site this week. Remember, you can keep up to date with all that's happening by subscribing to our free site daily or site weekly emails, and you can, of course, also follow us on a range of social media. While all our content is freely available, we'd welcome any financial support you can give us, even just $1 a month, to help us to continue to bring you and even expand our coverage from across the globe. Just look under the subscribers heading under our masthead for details. I'm David Adams, the editor of Site Magazine, and that was The Week That Was.